Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly and deeply grateful to be with you on this eighth day of February 2020 as we take a look at Help. Remember the Beatles, Help? I could have been a singer, but anyway, I chose to do this. I think we all need help. From one moment to the next in this world, trying to comprehend, maybe understand. Some of you seeking to make a difference in this world a little bit, and that's what Aspire is all about, making a difference. And I am grateful for my sponsors. I want to thank each and every one of them for their contribution, for their kindness, allowing me to be in their lives the way I am. Their donations spread out into your life and make it possible for you to hear this radio program, watch the TV programs. I gotcha. They're here. They're going to be aired very, very soon, if not already, by the time you hear my voice here. And they are wonderful programs that we did a kind of a tongue-in-cheek on Zen, and I think you'll find it very interesting. All of these things are there to help you, to serve you, to allow you to have a meaningful, maybe, insight into the whole shebang of living. Life is very, very, very difficult. And I hope that Aspire helps you with that. And if you are not a sponsor, I hope you will become one. Your sponsorship not only allows us to pay for airtime here and all the things we do on Aspire, including hospice and our BATMO project for the kids, but it also allows me to share with you everything I can here on radio to serve your, well, maybe some of you, your curiosity, but I hope more of you, your heartfelt interest and sincerity and maturing. Not a word that we use very much in this culture. If you're interested, please go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. Just click on support. You will see a drop-down menu, and it will say why support Aspire. It will help you understand where your donations go. They are tax deductible, and I will send you a receipt for all of your donations that you make. And I am deeply, deeply grateful. What's it mean to help? What does the word help mean? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means make it easier for someone to do something by offering one's services or resources. To improve, to be of benefit to. These are some of the definitions of the word help, and we all need it. I think the best one for me is to give me another point of view, another slant on something where my conventional mind, my pedestrian mentality doesn't get in the way, and I'm able to see the meaning and the significance of whatever it is I'm looking at or trying to understand. We all need help. I need help. You need help. We can't live alone thinking that we don't need each other for all sorts of things. And I'm always thrilled when somebody needs my help. I really am. I've learned a lot at hospice over the almost 30 years I've done it. It's a very interesting place to work. You find out really what the cause of war is, the cause of human death, the cause of human suffering, all the things that Buddha talked about when he wanted to awaken and save the world from old age, sickness, and death. You really begin to understand how we get old, why. It isn't time. It really isn't. We'd like to think that time makes us older, but it's not. It's the wearing away of the body in this world in an atmosphere of tremendous hate and fear, constant. It's constant all the time, and it's hidden in everything that we do and everything that we experience and how few people really understand it. So hopefully, as the months roll on, some of you will ask questions about that. It'd be interesting. First question comes from Raymond. He lives in Colorado. He says, I need help. Help with coping with my life. How do I get help with this world, this lifetime? very difficult for me, Raymond. And he goes into some of the things that bother him that he needs help with. And one of them, of course, is being a parent, being married, having a job, and making ends meet. You have to understand, Raymond, there are powers to be in this world that don't want you to have an easy life or a life where, you wouldn't work totally and constantly. And one of those is the United States government. They love the taxes and all the other things that they cram onto us. So we are so busy trying to make ends meet, we don't see what's really going on in the background of whatever it is that they're up to, and they're always up to something. So there is that worldly thing. And I bring all this up not as a political view. Please understand, I am not a politician, but or an analyst either. But it is obvious to me, as it is to a lot of people, that being overtaxed and underpaid and having kids and all those other things that we, you know, insist upon having in this world, like a car and a home and some food, is a very taxing thing. And they want to keep it that way because then your mind is on relief. Most of the time, Raymond, we are looking for relief from the life we are living. We're looking for something to help us so we have some breathing room, some time to maybe do some things that we want to do, not what we have to do in order to survive. And that gap is getting, you know, very, very small now, if it's even in existence. So you say, I need help. Help with coping with my life. It is sad to say that most of us live to cope with our life rather than to become alive, to really come alive. And a part of that big problem, and I'm going to start from the surface. I'm not going to get deep, deep, deep into this because I'd lose my audience in a heartbeat, what little I have. But the real coping thing is difficult to talk about because it means, you know, I do a little of this and then I get to do a little of that. We like being entertained, amused. We are bored with our own life, the repetitiousness of getting up in the morning and making our breakfast and all the things we have to do to get out the door to go to work, to jobs that we're not particularly fond of. When a person does not realize what they love, when they don't know what they really love, when they can't understand how important it is to find something they really love to do, no matter what other people may think of it. Maybe you're an artist, maybe you're a plumber, maybe you're, an architect, maybe you're a waiter, a waitress, whatever you love to do. I know people who love being waitresses and waiters. They love it. They enjoy people. They're gregarious. They enjoy the whole experience of it. And it's fine for them in the modality they're in. One of the things that is most important, Raymond, is to find what you love and what you love to do. What do you love? And no one, I guess, when we're little, tells us that we need to, during the course of our childhood, consider the idea of what do you love to do? My mother and father never came to me and said, well, Greg, what do you love to do? I was born in the early 50s. They were so busy being boomers and whatever they did. They never looked at me. I already knew what I loved to do. I was kind of self-made. I operated separate from them, and it became obvious to me they didn't know what the hell they were doing either. Even when I was little, it became very obvious to me that these two people had no idea what the hell they were doing with me. So I became interested in many things that led to the big thing, which I'm doing now. I have been doing this work for almost 50 years now, and I've loved my work. It's a very difficult thing to do. It's not rewarding in the monetary way or in the outer way. It's not, never is it been anything that has been rewarding. You don't look for reward in a job like this. You look for insight. You keep looking for the clues, the insight that teaches you how to follow a deeper course. And that's what's the difficulty here, Raymond, when you say how. You have to realize your life is bigger than what you think it is. You have to try to live your life in a way in which supports the bigger picture of your life. And if you don't have that bigger picture, then you need to acquire it. And the only way to acquire it is through meditation. You're going to have to see your life in the ebb and flow of what it is, and not get sidetracked on side paths where you think, well, I got to think about the money and all of that. You think about what it is that moves you, what it is that you really love to do. Find what you love, and you'll do it for free almost. I would. I almost do. It really is true. So you have to find what you deeply love, and it can't be something that gratifies Raymond. It has to be something that moves Raymond, deeply moves him in a way that is beyond emotion and passion and reason and logic. If you can do that, which you can, Raymond, but it'll take putting the pedal to the metal, you will find a very profound experience in your life. And that profound experience will be you, believe it or not. I hope that helps you, Raymond. I could go on for hours on this one, but I won't. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's very, very difficult for people to find what they love. Remember what Buddha said, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey. It's a very powerful statement. See how you love. Not what you love, how you love. Very, very important. Okay, the next one comes from Sam, and he lives in San Diego. I'm getting a, this is nice, people tell me where they live. What help can the average person do in this world? I mean, really, he says this, Greg, what can the average person do? Sam, there are so many things that the average person can do. I'm an average person. I'm not exceptional. I'm really not. Let me tell you little things you can do. I was going to the post office 2 days ago, and I had my hands full of mailers that I was mailing out for the monthly mailing that I do. And this very kind woman saw what I was holding and the awkwardness of it, and that I'd have to put it down to open the door. And she opened the door for me. You look at that and you say, well, Greg, are you that desperate? No, it was just kind. It really was. I was very touched. Do you know how many people open doors for other people? Not many, at least in my world. But it's the way she opened the door. It was not in sympathy, but in kindness to me. And she was my age. So she's an old biddy here. You know, we're old. But it was very, very nice. There are little gestures, Sam, that we can all do to help one another that are very meaningful to each other. Little gestures that we do. Little things that we do where we open a door in this case, or maybe help somebody at the grocery store. I helped a woman the other day at the grocery store. She couldn't get this jar she wanted. I'm kind of tall. I just reached over and and handed it to her. She asked me, and I did it, and no problemo. Little things mean really big things to a lot of us, and there are a lot of us in this world. We have to start with the little things. Lhasa said this: yield and overcome. Bend, but don't break. If you and I become very kind, if we become fluid, we start finding that there's all sorts of little things we can do that build to the bigger things that we are. And you can do many little things in the course of a day to help other people, to help your wife, your children, your husband. There are many things. You can clean up after yourself. You can do many little simple things that would keep you in the practice of serving humankind. And each of these little things has great virtue and merit to it. I was teaching this to my students at the workshop in January. You drop a pen. I dropped a pen, and I said, how I pick up that pen will determine my whole life, how I will live my entire life. And then I explained why. Because every gesture changes the energetics around me and within me. And if I am devoted to kindness, if I am devoted to compassion, I will understand that as I pick up that pen, I change everything in my life. How I pick it up, the way it touches my hand, my attitude, the whole thing. It matters a great deal what we do, how we do it, from what spirit of love inside of us we do it with. You pick flowers, you plant flowers, little things you do. These are giving things. You make dinner, you make breakfast, you make lunch. These are giving things. Sometimes they appear to be only giving to you, but if you give them from the heart, believe it or not, how you make your breakfast, how you make your dinner, how you make your lunch pours out into the ethers. It becomes the virtue of your entire life and how things are going to come back to you. If I am conscious about what I'm doing, if I am willing to be aware of what I am doing and the effect that it has on everything in my life, a humility is born in me. And this humility is deeply important. I can't stress this enough to you. The authentic spiritual practice depends on humility. People will say to me, well, I meditate and I do this and I do that and nothing ever changes. Oh, yes, it does. And it depends on how you meditate. It depends on how you bring yourself to the mat to meditate. Do you do it because, well, I have to, or I should, or I better, or this is a part of my routine? That's not meditating with love or kindness at all. That isn't going to do anything but to keep you right where you are, in the way you are. So, what is it? How is it that we should meditate? How is it that we should live in service? Everything I do, every gesture I make is affecting you. So I would never make a gesture. I would never make a move that would ever harm anyone. Do no harm. That's the key. What can you do to serve the world, you ask? You do it because you can. Because that is the way you are. You just do it because you can. There is a great beauty that lives in people. They never find it. Rarely do they understand it when they do find it. And maybe it isn't meant to be understood. Maybe it is in a realm that is totally different from anything that they could ever be involved in mentally and emotionally. And I agree with that. I think great beauty has nothing to do with emotion and passion and bodies and all that other stuff. Your whole life is art. Your whole living, it must be artful. And if you can live in that manner, in that kindness, then the average person can do a lot of things. I'm no artist, but the art of my living is the way I pick up that pen, how I open a door for someone, how I go to hospice and work with people who are absolutely impossible. They're very difficult. But I don't let it affect me. I'm honored to be there, and I realize how important it is to be in that. I hope that helps you, Sam. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Diane. She does not tell me where she lives. How do you feel about what would most help the world? I'm curious. Do you think that we should all be sitting around meditating? Diane. There's something suspicious about this question. Are you saying that if we all sat around and meditated, it would be worthless? I denote a little sarcasm in this. But I'm going to assume that you didn't mean it that way, okay? Do I think we should all sit around and meditate? I don't think like that. I'm lucky if I get my students to meditate. I make them beautiful meditations, boys, and I make them gorgeous men. Anyway, no, I don't think, I think we'd all benefit if we had the result of a profound meditation, any meditation. I think that would be lovely. But how do I feel about what would help the world the most? I think Jesus said it. It's a simple thing. And I think people are simple-minded. They're not spiritually bright, nor do they want to be, so there's no intent for it. But I think the golden rule would help a great deal. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you realize the genius in that statement? It's absolute genius. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you really sit back and you can take that all in, you realize it would put you on a spiritual path so quickly. It would be one of the most beautiful things in your entire life. You would do no harm. Your karma would change. Your life would be about virtue and kindness, not indulgence. You would look out at the world and see how important it is to do everything that we do the way we do it from our heart and not from the whole idea of moral beliefs and what is right and what is wrong and all that other stuff what we like to believe in, which is purely garbage. You have to look at life from the point of view of every act fulfills itself somewhere in my life, either in my past or in my future. And everything that I do is significant, as I said to Sam. So with all that being said, you kind of get the drift of what is important. What is important is every single moment of your life. Nothing is insignificant in this lifetime, in this world. And should you be willing to understand the significance of all of that, compassion would overwhelm you, and that would be something that would really help the world, where we would look at each other and go, I wouldn't do to you what I wouldn't want done to me. And forgiveness might be the flow of this world instead of hatred, which I'm afraid is very big in our world. I'm out of here. Thank you, Diane. I hope that helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, I'll be back on the air tomorrow. We're going to talk about what to do when there's great difficulty. We'll work on that one. That's going to be a pipper. Have a wonderful day. Please forgive me. Thank you for listening. Namaste.